Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
He's Blank, I'm Bradham. Texas with a big win yesterday. They have positioned themselves for the biggest game in quite a while. For this franchise, is they're 6-4, game behind Jacksonville in the AFC South standings. Jacksonville comes to town. Texans can clinch the tiebreaker with a win this Sunday against the Jags. Not the same old Texans these last few weeks. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Art, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's going on, Art?
Hey, guys. I heard y'all talking about the crazy hypotheticals earlier, and you said Stroud would bring a Super Bowl to the city. So, just hypothetical for this year, Texans make the playoffs. What would you prefer? They make the playoffs, they lose in the Super Bowl to the Cowboys, or they make the playoffs and they're out in the first round? What's the preference there?
Okay, appreciate it, Art. What do you think, Blankers?
It's pretty easy. I mean, you make the playoffs and lose in the first round. I don't think I want to see the Cowboys win a Super Bowl in this stage.
I would absolutely go to the Super Bowl. I wouldn't bat an eye. Go to the Super Bowl?
From the second pick, winning your first ever AFC title game.
Yeah.
Going to a Super Bowl. I don't care. If they lose, sign me up.
Yeah, me too. I will take the suffering of the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl at your expense for the Houston Texans in year one, reaching the Super Bowl for the first time in the history of the city. Absolutely.
Screw both of you. I mean, that's fine. That's why we all have different opinions. But look,
strong.
I just say that.
Because I already hate that the Rangers won the World Series. But can you imagine how insufferable all Dallas will be, and Dallas fans and Cowboy fans, because they're already insufferable? And sorry, not sorry, Dre, but when you start talking about the Cowboys and the Rangers in the same year and just all of that, that was going to just last, because it has to last forever because their football team sucked ever since their last Super Bowl. I don't want any of that.
I think you're in your feels a little bit about it. Like, what?
Well, I totally hate the Cowboys. I'm not going to lie. And I don't really like the Rangers either. And the fact of the matter is that if the Texans make the playoffs, it's a win. It's a phenomenal season, and you know there's going to be more to come. As long as it's not losing to the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind this, because the counterpoint is, well, we got there with our rookie head coach and rookie quarterback. We're going to be back. Like, that means you accomplished defeating everybody in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
That means you lasted longer. Burrow's done for the year. That means you lasted longer than Mahomes. It means you lasted longer than Lamar Jackson. Maybe Josh Allen, if he gets there. It means you lasted longer than Tua. And like, that's something we talk about the difficulty of, like, the Houston Texans' plight as an NFL organization in this league, is they have to navigate the very, very difficult AFC. You get to the Super Bowl, it means you've navigated the AFC in the first year of CJ Stroud. The amount of promise you have going forward, unbelievable. And going to the Super Bowl is awesome. Like, that's 4 more weeks of content.
Look, I totally understand your guys' side of this, but my side of it is look, I'm never going to love the Cowboys or the Rangers. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to hate both for the rest of my life. And the fact that the combo platter for people that I'm not too fond of from Dallas that are fans of one or both of those teams, I could do without it.
Yeah, I mean,
because I still think it's a huge upside. Either way, you know your team's going to be around for a long time doing great things. I get your guys' side of it. I just can't stand the thought of the Dallas part of that.
Just going to a Super Bowl is, I mean, that's up there. It's
oh,
up
I
there.
Know.
We'll agree to disagree on this one. 713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in on that. 713-780-3776. And we appreciate the question on that too, Art. All right, a tale of two halves, I thought, for the offense yesterday and for this team in general. You looked at what they did in the first half offensively. They were clicking. I mean, 333 yards. They still left some points on the field too, because they weren't great in red zone. They had the conversions, whether it was third, fourth downs that they didn't convert. 333 yards, 21 points in the first half. They were rolling. They were clicking. The defense wasn't awful in the first half, but you gave up that opening touchdown drive. Arizona scored 10 in the first quarter. But then in the second half, it was the exact opposite, a tale of two cities. The offense gets shut out in the second half. The just didn't get anything going. It was choppy. You missed a field goal on the opening drive. You had the chance for the 2-for-1, which I love, where you try to score on the last possession of the first half. You get the ball first in the second half, and you try to get a 2-for-1 like basketball when there's 30 seconds left in the quarter. You get up a shot, you get the last shot. Texans almost were able to execute that. They scored the touchdown, which was the long pass to Tank Dell, and then the first possession of the second half, they missed the field goal. They missed the 48-yarder by Amendola. So you almost converted the 2-for-1 at the end of the first half, at the beginning of the second half. And then it was crickets the rest of the half offensively, whether it was being stuffed on a 3rd-and-1, whether it was C.J. Stroud tripping on Devin Singletary. Like, you just couldn't get out of your own way in the second half. And most weeks, Texans defense probably gives it up. They didn't give it up yesterday, though. Arizona scores just 6 points in the second half. They get some clutch defensive stops, fourth down in the fourth quarter, come away with a victory. It's like complimentary football, and it was nice to see the defense pick up the offense after the offense has been picking up the defense the last couple
of weeks.
It
was good brother-in-lawing, right? Because the offense was so good in the first half, and the defense made some adjustments, figured some things out, and they were good enough to get you what you needed down the stretch to win that football game. I don't know that that happens against better football teams with better talent than the Cardinals, but it was good to see that. It's just that I was contemplating, did they let up too much? Did they get too conservative? But then when you see some of the picks and you see the way that they were giving it up, you could also say, were they basically too aggressive on certain plays? But I think that it was more of the first. I think it was more of the fact that they kind of let up. I mean, they were so aggressive passing on first downs, passing on third downs, going to their strength and their bread and butter, even though they were still running at the right time to get yards from Singletary. I think they started to force the run a little too much. I thought that they got a little too comfortable, and they maybe took the Cardinals for granted a little bit, that this wasn't going to be a tight game late, and then it was. And Kyler Murray was the main reason why.
I thought it was more of it was just weird. Like, the second half was weird. You only had 5 drives. The first one, you moved the ball. The first one, you got into field goal range, and you just couldn't make a 48-yard field goal. Questionable if DeMeco should have went for it 4th-and-6 at the 30. But you're trying to get points there. You're trying to make it a 14-point game.
The kid's fine. He hadn't missed a kick yet.
I would have went for it.
4th-and-6?
It's out of his range. Like, he is not good from, like, 40-plus. He's really bad from 45-plus.
But correct me if I'm wrong, the kick had plenty of leg on it. It was just a little wide.
Sure. It's not power, though. It's accuracy. And once you start to get more, yardage needed for the field goal, you get a little more sporadic. And he's not good career-wise from 45-plus. I think I would have went for it there. I think that was 4-down territory there. But, half a dozen one way, 6 or the other. It's not like a hill I'm willing to die on. I personally would have went for it. I don't think that it's like this huge transgression that DeMeco didn't. But you move the ball there on that drive. Like, you were moving it. You just missed a field goal. The second drive was the one where C.J. Stroud stepped on Singletary's foot. It's okay. You're 2nd-and-20. Like, you're probably not
rolled backwards for more lost yardage, too, where you might have just ate that.
I mean, you're 2nd-and-20. You're toast. Like, so that spiraled that drive. So I can't really put a whole lot of, blame on anybody there. It's just unlucky. Then you go to their next drive where they had a 3-and-out. That's the one where they had a 3rd-and-1. And they gave it to Andrew Beck. Bad spot, bad call, pick your poison there. But that was a weird drive because you were looking at a 3rd-and-1, and you get stuffed on a 3rd-and-1 fullback dive. So, that was a really weird drive. Then you had the then you punted it, and you actually got it off the muff punt, which is a really questionable call.
Ooh, that call.
Texans got a break there. I couldn't tell.
It looked like it might have hit the forearm as well as the back of the jersey. But you did the right thing in saying, and though it was a very controversial call, but if that what you called on the field, trusting what your officials saw to call it, then you have to go with it.
The way that it is letter of the law where it has to be conclusive, I thought that it should have stood.
I agree.
And it did stand. Gun to my head, do I think it hit the Texan or the Cardinal first? I think it hit the Texan.
There was only the one angle where his forearm, the skin on his forearm, might have moved a little bit as the ball came down.
Not but conclusive.
It was tough to zoom in on enough to find out.
Gun to your head, who you think it touched first?
I think Texas.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So anyways, you get great field position there. You have the interception. Weird drive. You turn Arizona over on downs. You get the ball near midfield. You drive into Arizona territory, and then you throw another interception. So, I don't think the offense was bad in the second half. It's weird to say that because you turned it over twice. You punted every other time that you had the ball. But it was just kind of like these weird events. 3rd-and-1 fullback dive, stuffed. Two interceptions in the Arizona side of the field. Weird. Stepping on Devin Singletary's foot. Weird. Like, I wasn't discouraged by this, but it was, offensively in the second half.
As much as it was a tale of two halves, it was also the microcosm of the entire game was missed opportunities, right? Because I think early on I'd have taken the first field goal instead of going for it, because you put points on the board. Because Kyler marched right down the field and sent a message. At least you have those points on the board.
That's guaranteeing you're going to make it, though.
Well, but that was much of a shorter field goal than the one he missed in the second half.
Wait, which one are you talking about? The one in the first half?
Yeah, the first half. I would have gone, instead of going for it, I would have kicked the field goal.
Oh, the first possession?
Yeah.
Where they had it fourth and two at the Arizona 15?
Because you score on your first drive, you send the message, we're going to score, you know, you're scoring two.
Yeah.
And I think that might have changed some things. But yeah, overall, I thought there was a lot of missed opportunities for the Texans. That's a good thing, because as dominant as you were statistically, and the numbers that you put up both individually with guys like Singletary and Stroud, but overall, what you, like you were mentioning, what they put up 300-plus in the first half. You look at all those things and say, but you left points on the board and there were missed opportunities. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, shut out in the second half is never good, but it was just kind of weird.
It really was a strange game.
I thought that Gannon screwed up, too, not kicking a field goal, fourth and three, Houston 23. It would have been a 40-yarder with 13 minutes left to play. You make it a two-point game at that spot, now still plenty of football.
Now you're a field goal away from winning it instead of forcing yourself to go on every opportunity to try and overcome five.
He did the Texans a favor there, because now you're just looking at a game-winning field goal as opposed to going for it late, and the Texans get that stop. So maybe a fruitcake.
The hit on the goal line, too, on the two-point conversion was big.
Yeah, Christian Harris.
Yeah, very big.
Christian Harris, after Jalen Petrie played a little Olay defense after he tripped on the two-yard line. Petrie's got to get better.
Christian Harris with the deflected pass. He had that big hit on the two-point conversion. He was all over the field. You can say how many tackles he had, but if you watch that football game, you can't not notice Christian Harris.
I thought that was the best game he's played this year.
I agree.
He looked really good, and Cashman was fantastic, too. 8755, CJ gave up two TDs and a touchdown that wasn't his fault. He means interception. CJ gave up two interceptions and an interception that wasn't his fault. Receiver didn't catch it, not to mention a missed field goal. That alone is 24 points the Texans missed out on and still won the game. 24 might be a reach, because you don't know that you're going to get touchdowns on all of those plays, but definitely points on the field. All three of those interceptions, missed field goal, that's four drives that didn't lead to points. And that's, look, you
and
snuck
the going
away with
forward
the win yesterday.
And not getting it is a fifth position where you left points
five
out there.
And you were in the red zone there.
Right.
That's you can't do that. You can't
not against good teams, you can't.
Five drives deep into Arizona territory and leave with zero
that's
points.
Why I said that earlier in the show. They can't do those same things against the Jags.
That's why their best football is ahead of them.
But they've been doing that all season.
They have.
It's incredible that this season has gone the way it has. But they have consistently botched fourth and short, or had too many turnovers in the red zone, or just not converted on fourth down ever, missed field goals. Like, everything that could go wrong in certain situations, it feels like it has.
That's why I think they have a 40 burger in them. They're gonna have one game where they convert on all of these, and they're gonna put up 49 points.
Or regardless if it's 40 or not, they have one offensive top-notch, solid effort against a good football team where no matter what the other team does, they match it because everything falls into place.
I mean, they've already kind of had those games where they scored a lot of points, and I still think they've left
points on the board. But I'm saying, against the Browns or against...
I mean, they scored 30 against Cincy.
They did.
37 against the Jags. And they had nine guys out. 30 against the Steelers. They got a 40-burger in them. Now, do I think it's going to be against the Jets or the Browns? No. Probably won't even be against the Titans.
That's what I'm saying. If you play really well and don't miss opportunities against the Browns, that's super impressive whether you get 40 or not.
Yeah, you're just you have eight possessions in that game and you score on five of them.
That's fantastic.
Even if two are field goals and you have 27 points.
With as good as that defense is and Myles Garrett is, that would be really good.
See, that's what I like looking at more. I like looking at how many series and possessions end up in points because I think that's what you're trying to do. Some games are shorter, some games are longer, some games you have less possessions, some games you have more. I like an offense that scores on 50% of their drives.
And
it's
also, as much as I understand you want more touchdowns than field goals, sometimes when you score on most of your possessions, it's as valuable or more valuable than coming up with a nothing burger, because at the end of the day, what are we going to do? We're going to look at, where did you leave points on the table?
Yep.
Whether it was by your own decision or just by mistakes like interceptions. You can't have too many of those and still win football games.
Texans have the fourth most offensive yards per game in the NFL.
The NFL.
That's stupid. That is insane. Now they have the 10th most points per game. So there's a little bit of meat left on that bone. 713-780-3776. Each Monday, we've been grading C.J. Stroud a golf grade. What are we giving C.J. Stroud this week? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. He's Blank. I'm Branham. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Kareem Jackson has been suspended 4 more games.
Jeez.
For repeated violations of using his crown of his helmet. This one, they're showing his hit on a receiver where he led with crown.
It's Dobbs.
Oh, is it Dobbs?
Yeah.
And he just drills him right in the face mask. So he's been suspended 4 games, which, I mean, who really cares? But he does play the Texans back in those four games.
Did he
games.
Even get, like, half of his salary this year?
Well, this will be his...
It's his second big suspension,
he'll be
right?
Suspended for a total of 6 games if this one doesn't get appealed down again.
That's a big hit. You got to stop leading with your crown. Like they're going to regulate this out of the game.
Any of the other penalties throughout the year he's got fined for, honestly, dirty player. I don't think there's any way to ignore it.
You think he's doing it on purpose?
He keeps doing it. It's like his fourth hit this year.
He was never like this.
No, he was. That's what I was going to say, too. It's almost like he's evolved into a guy that his skill set has kind of diminished a little bit, and suddenly he turned to being a dirty player. And really, it's not literally paying off.
I have a theory.
Bounty Gate.
Bounty Gate in Denver.
Back.
Cash or trash.
Cash it.
Bounty Gate with Sean Payton. Knock these guys out of the gate. We got to be tough. We got to be physical. We got to be sons of guns. We got to be the most
Sean
physical
Payton's
team
picking
on
up
the gridiron.
Some of his fine money then,
Bounty
and suspension
Gate
money.
What has changed with Kareem Jackson? He's never been like this before.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Bounty Gate. Where is that? Was it Greg Williams? Yes. Where's Greg Williams when you need him? Greg Williams was never the guy that should have been at fault. It was Sean
he's
Payton
still working
all
somewhere.
Along. I'm sure he's probably in the XFL. Where's he at?
No, he was in the NFL. He got other jobs.
I know that, but where's he at today? Yeah, he's the DC for the DC Defenders.
So XFL.
Yeah, okay. XFL. I'm curious how that merger goes. Anyways, Kareem Jackson, he's going to miss the game. He's going to miss the game for the Texans in a couple of weeks. All right, let's grade C.J. Stroud. Yesterday, you look at the stat line that he put up. Was fabulous in the first half. Overall, his final line looks like this. 27 for 37, 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, took 3 sacks. A QBR, if you like that stuff, 41.5. QB rating, if you like that stuff, at an 85. Analyze the performance of C.J. Stroud yesterday before you get to his grade.
So, for me, I thought that the stats were still obviously very good in a lot of areas. But as you said last segment, there was still meat left on the bone. There were ways that both individually, he and the team could have and should have been better. And you hope that they learn and they grow from it, but they left points on the board. They made bad decisions, both him individually and the team. Again, at the end of the day, they got a win. So I'm not going to punish him and say he got a bogey, but I'm not going to over-reward him for the fact that there was still plenty that they left on the table that was left to do that they did not do and accomplish. So I'm going to give him a par because I think that a win always constitutes the fact that you got the job done enough to get on to the next game or the next hole without being penalized. I just think that there was enough left there that I can't give him more than that.
I thought he played pretty well, actually. I think that people are going to magnify the interceptions, which you never want interceptions. You got to take care of the football. He's had 6 turnovers in the last 2 games, which isn't great. 4 interceptions, and then he's fumbled the ball twice. That was recovered by the other team. So those are things you have to clean up. The interceptions, to me, kind of... One of them wasn't his fault.
No, hit him right in the hands and the face mask.
Yeah, and there is a case to be made that there could have been interference there. Maybe the defender was holding Woods' arm. I'll listen to that. But it's a ball that hit him right in the hands off the face mask. Like, that's a catchable ball. That's not on Stroud. He put it right where it had to be. Whether it was Woods that should have made the play or whether it was the official that should have thrown the flag, that was a good throw. The Nico Collins play, I did notice on the 2 interceptions that were his fault because the other 2 interceptions his fault. There was a little bit of pressure up the middle, and he was throwing on the back foot, which I think led to some underthrows and led to lack of oomph on the final throw. The Nico Collins, like I think King of Twitch was saying, he didn't see the safety on the Nico Collins pick, the first pick. I don't believe that at all. I believe that he saw everybody that he needed to see. I think he was trying to throw it into the window.
Put it in a tight, high window. Yep.
Thank you for finishing that.
Sorry.
I think that he would put it in the exact window that Nico Collins needed to leap above the defenders and come down with it. I think he threw it 2 feet too short. And I think it had something to do with him throwing it off his back foot, which had something to do with the pressure right up the middle. So that was a bad bad interception. I think there's a story behind that interception, but I don't think it was because he failed to see the safety. He just underthrew it by 2 feet. The second one, the Woods one, hit the receiver in his hands. That I'm throwing right. that one out. The one, two, I think, I don't even know.
The outside
was
route?
Tank? Was it Tank? I can't remember who it was. It was Tank. That one also had pressure up the middle, threw off his back foot, and put loft on it. You're trying to put loft on a 10-yard out. That's never good news. That's a throw he probably can't make. If he's feeling the pressure there, either you like throw that one away. You don't even try to make that throw. Throw it away, which is a lesson to learn here. And I do think that both interceptions were underthrows, lack of the fastball, both because they're on his back feet, both because he had pressure right in his face.
I think to that theory, it's legitimized by the fact that on the second one, he has such great touch and ball placement that he knows throwing that ball to the outside is the only place that can go. It has to be away from the defender. Mm-hmm. It has to be away from the pressure point from the defensive back that could run the distance with it. And he normally makes that throw in his sleep. So you're probably right. That's why where it ended up probably is because he was on his back foot.
And why does he make that throw, though? Because of oomph, his fastball. Mm-hmm. And that one, he didn't have his fastball. Like, you go back and watch that. He lost it over there. You can't loft a 10-yard out. Like, that's dangerous. You're not going to be able to live like that in the NFL. Now, was it because of the pressure in his face? Was it because of the back foot? Yeah, that exists. But you have to be aware of that, and you have to throw it away.
At that point in the game, too, you have to understand the semantics of that point in the game, too, mm-hmm. where you can't afford the only thing you can't afford to do is turn it over there.
Field goal's fine.
That's right.
A field goal, like living to kick the ball at the end of that drive is okay in that spot and just getting a few points. Other than the interceptions, though, I thought he was great. I thought he was really good, especially in the first half. Second half, there was a bunch of weird stuff that went on. The Texans can never find their rhythm. You know, the two interceptions, him stepping on Singletary's foot, not converting a third and one. I thought he was overall really good other than the interceptions. First half, he was on another level. First half, he was 18 for 24, 259 yards, two touchdowns, and 120 passer rating. That is elite. That is unbelievable. That is fantastic. I think he played better than his stat line would tell you. I think he played better than the three interceptions would tell you. You win games in the NFL, I'm giving you a birdie. So I go birdie for C.J. Stroud on yesterday's performance.
I agree with everything you guys have said, but I'm gonna roll with Joel here a little bit. I'm going to go par, mainly because you threw the interception at really the worst possible time, and you gave the Arizona Cardinals a chance to win that football game. And if your defense didn't step up, you lose. And that loss would have been, I think, squarely on C.J. just because he threw the pick at the inopportune moment. So for that, it's a par, but it really was like it's like an eagle for the first half and a bogey for the second. And I know that still only gets me to a minus one. I understand that.
That's a birdie.
That's a birdie.
That's a birdie. But like, it's still a par because he just. Well, it was worst time ever.
You can nitpicky the getting the feet tangled up or rolling and losing even more yards when you slipped in the backfield. But it's the decision to throw that football when you did, and the fact that the two of the three picks seem to be on you. So that's why I'm not going to elevate it too much. But he got a win, and that's why I said par.
713-780-ESPN, what is your grade on C.J. Stroud's performance in yesterday's win against Arizona? 713-780-3776. Also, the Rockets, these last two games. They were losses, but they were in the fight. Are you encouraged or discouraged by these last two games the Rockets have played? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Three locations to better serve you. Two near downtown Houston. One is new and just opened up in League City. All to make sure that the coverage is there so you can get where you need to go to get what you need to get going. And that is the people at Apollo Men's Health, because they help you in a variety of ways, from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. If you have issues, they're going to help you find results and answers. They're fantastic because they care about their patients. They do it in a variety of ways, and there's a variety of different services that they offer. Go to apollomh.com and see all the services that they offer. If you see a few that interest you, right there online, you can sign up for your first appointment and find out that most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. You mentioned my name, Joel Blank. You get a free B12 shot on your first official visit, or a body composition analysis, which helps you chart your progress when your body fat goes down, your muscle mass goes up, and those important numbers start making sense. That's what you need Apollo Men's Health for. Getting back to where you used to be, only feeling better than you ever have before. They're fantastic. Semi-glutide, now available. You don't have time to get to the gym, but you want to lose up to 6 pounds every week? Check it out. It's FDA approved, and it's available at Apollo Men's Health. And where they really specialize is getting you energy again. From those B12 shots that I talked about to all the different ways that they have hormone therapy for men and for women, that it can make a difference in making sure you get that to-do list done every day and you feel like your best self in every way. They're fantastic, and you can check them out yourself and make the judgment for yourself that so many listeners have. Go to ApolloMH.com right now, but one way or another, go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. Joe, will you, if you can, will you cue up some award music and let me know when you have it? We need some award music here in a little bit. 713-780-3776. 5798. It's a par on a par five. Wonder why it mattered the hole.
Yeah, why does the hole length
maybe because he started off well, and then he stumbled to a par. That would be my guess. Like, he hit a really good drive, like first half here. Really good drive. Maybe he hit a really good approach on a par five to, like, the apron of the green, and then it took him three shots to get home. Somebody else hit a three-putt par, so that would probably require a par five.
Yeah.
Unless you're driving the par four. Yeah, so maybe that's what they mean, because you started off well, but then you three-putt, or you're on the apron of the green, and it takes three shots to make par. Because he started off really well. His first half was unbelievable. Yeah. His first half was terrific. His first half was great. It was outstanding. So I think that is something you have to throw in.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because I think that with a par five, at least you know there were some good shots, because you didn't screw up or bogey it, but you probably had a letdown or two to make sure that you didn't get the score that you thought you were going to get when you had a first half or a shot or two early in the hole that you know would have made a difference.
I think people see the interception total though and they're like, oh no, what an awful game. But then you kind of watch the game and say, hey, he played really good. At times he was really, really good.
The other way you could look at it with a par five though too is you hit a bomb of a drive.
Yep.
You could have gone for it in two, but you played conservative, like but you left points like leaving points on the board.
Yeah.
You played conservative, you laid up, and then you didn't even get birdie.
I see where you're going here. I wouldn't say that best symbolizes yesterday's game though, because he finished really good in the first half with the touchdown to Tank.
Yeah.
So most cases, yeah, maybe they don't score that touchdown drive on that last first half series.
Like you go for it in two and get down the green, but then you definitely three. Yeah,
three putt, or you fluff a chip, you know, something like that. It takes three to get home. All right, hit us with the award music. The Killer Bees won an award today, Blankers. I don't know if you're familiar with this. The Killer Bees have won an award. The world famous Lamontis. Lamonti, who is a sports radio savant in this city, has given us, we made the podium on the top three sports radio shows in Houston. The Lamonti is very well received. Do you want to give the victory speech of the Lamonti? Do you want to accept it on our behalf?
No.
I'll accept it on our behalf.
I think you will. I mean, but I think that you just have to give the credibility where it is.
No,
I'm just saying, you have the speech. I'm just saying that the Lamonti is a valued award because one of the founders of the Houston Media Watch has been doing this a long time, listening to a lot of radio.
It's an honor and a privilege, first off, to be nominated and awarded one of the top three sports radio shows in Houston by Lamont of the Lamontis. I, on the behalf of Joe George, Joel Blank, and myself, gladly accept this award. I want to thank all of my family who have made this possible, who have to put up with our daily lives and the chaos that is our lives. But what an honor it is to be mentioned with the other two radio hosts on the Highway to Hell. We're the only non-Highway to Hell show that made the podium.
Saw that.
That made the top three. So I accept this Lamonti on behalf of the Killer Bees, and I thank you all. What is it, the Sports Writer Actor Guild? Is there a strike? I don't know. Thank you, Lamonti, for the kind words. It's an honor and a privilege to accept it on the behalf of the Killer Bees.
That's when they start playing more music to tell me we got to get off the stage, and I just say, thanks to my family. Love
Joe's
you guys.
Joe's turning it up on us. Joe's like, that's enough of that. Let's talk Rocket basketball. The Rockets lost to the Clippers. The Rockets lost to the Lakers last night. Are we going to take some moral victories out of this? Are we going to be pleased with the Rockets losing these tight two games to the LA teams?
I am. I for sure am, because of where they came from. I think that we know it's a very long marathon of a season in the NBA, but to think of how bad this team has been for multiple years and how poorly it was coached and how underdeveloped the young talent was and the lack of veterans, you have all those things on display. You didn't get your doors blown off on road trips where you pretty much would have gotten your ass handed to you and lost by massive numbers of double digits to two teams of those of the caliber of the Clippers and the Lakers, no matter what you think of the Lakers. You look at it and you say, hey, look, you were winning a good portion of that game against the Lakers. You hung in there with the loaded roster of the Clippers, though they're still trying to figure things out. And it was a one-possession game on the last possession of the ball game. Those are moral victories that I'll take this early in the season with a team that's come this far, this quickly, to get out of the depths of the embarrassment hell that they were in to be a very, very serviceable NBA team.
I don't do the moral victory things, but I do understand the plight of this organization. Like, I understand the plight of the Rockets are a team that has been very, very bad these last few years. They finally have a real head coach. And, look, I want the Rockets to be able to win these games. But you're going to – and, look, the Clippers haven't been good since they traded for Harden. That was their first win since they traded for Harden. But the Houston Rockets were in a game on the road with a team that had Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, and they all played. Like, moral victory? Is that moral victory-ish? Yeah, it's probably moral victory-ish. And then yesterday, they're going up against street clothes Anthony Davis. They're going up against LeBron James, and they're in that – they led by 10 points in the first half. If it weren't for a disastrous third quarter, they go into L.A., they go into the City of Angels, they go into the Staples Center, and they beat LeBron and Anthony Davis. And I know that doesn't have the same allure like it used to because they were a team that, you know, creeped into the play-in last year.
Sucks.
But still, I mean, that's LeBron. That's Anthony Davis. And LeBron, you know, he got the game-winning bucket there, or the game-winning free throw after the overcommit there by the Dylan the Villain, who probably shouldn't have overcommitted on that play. Led to LeBron getting to the free throw line, buries it. They win by one. But these were games that last year, you go on the West Coast, you're getting smoked by 20, night in, night out. So, the Rockets need to eventually win these games, but you're 11 games into the Ime Udoka era. You're 11 games into this new version of who the Houston Rockets are going to be. Yeah, they need to start winning some road games. They're 0-4 in these road games. But you can still see tremendous signs of progress. You can still see the plight of this organization's on an upward trajectory. A lot of good things. Does it need to eventually translate to wins? Yes, it needs to eventually translate to wins, but they're on the right path.
When you talk about checking boxes, did they play team basketball? Yes. Did they run a legit offense and run it through multiple players? Yes. Were they, like you said, were they competitive throughout the entire game in both games? Absolutely yes. Did they get contributions from veterans that helped to kind of right the ship at certain times when they really needed it? Absolutely. Did you see the development of their younger players too on full display, taking it to another level from where they've been in the previous couple of years? Absolutely you did. Starting with Alpi Şengün, which is the biggest glaring positive move of anything that's happened so far with the development you've seen from him. But all those things by a well-coached team that ran both offensive and defensive systems that were played and executed by their team, yeah, those are all positives that you can't turn a blind eye to.
I like where this team's going.
I do too.
And Jalen Green, he didn't score a bunch of points yesterday. One thing that's encouraged me about Jalen Green, though, even when he's not racking up points, he's not taking 20 shots when he's having a poor shooting game.
Or bad shots.
And bad shots. And that's encouraging me from Ime Udoka. And it's also like Jalen Green is doing two things when he's not forcing up 20 shots in a night when he clearly doesn't have his shot. He's also impacting the game in other ways. He's rebounding the basketball. He had a critical assist, had several assists, but a critical assist late in that game. And whenever he's off and he takes 20 shots, he's taking you out of the game. So he's not doing that anymore, not taking the team out of the game. And he's also helping in other ways. He didn't do this in his
pre-Udoka
era.
Take from the last several games, just the takeaway of when you've got Jabari sitting on the bench for the final 5 minutes, and in past, he would have been pissed off. He'd have pouted.
Yeah.
He'd have had plenty to either say or the body language to show you he wasn't buying in. He didn't do any of those things, and he supported every bit of what Udoka decided to do. Same thing you were talking about with Green. Green could have taken bad shots because he wasn't getting his numbers, because he wasn't getting the ball to go in, and could have just gone completely AWOL by himself to go ISO ball until he got something to fall. Instead, he helped the team by doing other things, which means he's bought into Udoka's system and way of doing things. Those are huge when you're talking about a young team and the development of those two young players.
Alpi's a freak, too.
Like, so good, man.
He's an all-star.
He is, and people wrote him off for what he couldn't do defensively, but now he's doing more to do at least enough defensively when you start capitalizing on all the great things he does offensively to make you better.
You know what also kind of irritates me about the Silas era is that they would get crushed defensively, and then he kind of finger-pointed a lot to like Şengün's like limits on the defensive end.
He punished Şengün for everybody's shortcomings.
That too. But Ime just puts him in spots where he cannot be as bad. Because I don't think he's never going to be a great defensive player. No. He's going to try. He's going to rebound. And I do think rebounding is part of defense because it's how you close out a possession. but he doesn't put Şengün in spots where he's going to be completely embarrassed.
Right.
And I think a lot of times Steven Silas put him in spots where he's completely, like, guarding guards on the perimeter.
Or, I was going to say, put him in space on the perimeter, and you can completely expose and embarrass him.
Yeah, and that's something that Ime's not doing. Like, they love to switch, Ime does. He's not doing that with Şengün. Why? Because Şengün can't guard on the perimeter against guards who are a lot faster than him. He's always going to have his limits defensively, but I like what they're doing with him. The veterans have been great. Like, yes, they've overspent on the veterans, but it's the price of doing business in the NBA. They had to spend the money. Secondly, the investment that these veterans are providing to the young players on this team. Like, Jalen Green's going to be better for playing with Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet. Alpi Şengün's going to be better for playing with both of those guys. Jabari's going to be better for playing with both of those guys. In fact, Jabari might be better off because he's playing with Jeff Green.
I was going to say, don't leave Jeff Green out of the equation in terms of making all those young guys better. Maturity level starts in the locker room. Being a good teammate starts in the locker room and develops into what you do on the floor and some of the things we talked about. But Jeff Green, as a proven winner that you have to listen to, he can make a difference with these young guys as well as the other two guys that got the big money.
Rockets do play tonight at Golden State. I don't love this game tonight for the Rockets because they're coming off the tough luck loss yesterday, kind of a heartbreaking loss.
Thunder and SGA got the best of the Warriors, yeah. And they're going to come out looking for Bear.
And they also have had a day off, whereas the Rockets are playing the second game of a back-to-back. Right. Golden State's had a day off between then, and they've also been home for a while. I don't love this game from a Rocket perspective. It's a 7.5-point spread.
Golden State by double digits.
I kind of feel that way, too. Like, if the Rockets cover this spread, not that I'm in for the moral victory thing, but if they cover this spread, I will feel pretty encouraged.
Without a question. Because of the fact that, you know, the fact that Chet sends the game to overtime and SGA just completely dominant in the game, and it looks like Klay is not even close to – Klay Thompson is a shell of himself, period. And Chris Paul still trying to fit in. Draymond, obviously, getting the suspension. The fact of the matter is the Warriors look like absolute trash compared to where they've been for the last several years. And they're going to look to send a message that they ain't done yet. And the young Rockets are going to be right on the table for them to just go to work on.
Dre says, I need to see more consistency from Jalen scoring. I agree with that because he's capable of scoring 20. It's just the consistency is a problem. I do like that he's not taking bad shots. Rockets defense in the paint. I think that's going to take another player.
Yeah, they need another body because Jacques Lundale ain't even close to the answer that they thought he might be.
They don't have a good rim protector.
They don't.
They don't. Like, Jacques Lundale is probably the closest they have, and he's not that guy.
Awful.
He's a warm body. He's a warm body big that can run and chew bubblegum at the same time.
He's a rich man for not a lot of reasoning.
My kitchen is dirty. Shout out Rafael Stone for putting this together. He should be in consideration for Executive of the Year. Cash or trash?
Trash.
I thought you might say that.
Yeah.
I thought you might say that. 713-780-ESPN.
Now, if you say that he hired the right coach and they got it that done, I'd say congratulations to Tillman Fertitta.
6856. Hey, they hired Adoka. You know,
yeah.
Whoever's call that was genius. 6856. Sorry, Blankers. The Lakers are good.
They're not trash, but Anthony Davis is. For especially what you're paying him and what's expected of him. LeBron's playing out of his freaking mind at his age, putting up 37. No disrespect to him and some of the guys on the roster. But Anthony Davis, play like you're paid.
Yeah, just be on the floor. Devin says this is sounding like Moral Victory Monday. It's a good point. It did come across that way after I said that we're not into moral victories. It did come across very
two
moral
different
victory.
Teams, though, right? From a Texans perspective, you got the win. From a Rockets perspective, you ain't the Texans.
I think you earned that right. I think you earned the right, like the Texans did, to where we owe it to them because they've played so well to where now we expect them to win every single game. Whereas the Rockets are still earning that right.
They are.
They haven't earned that right just
and
yet.
And on the road is big, and you've got to be able to have it translate to both home and road.
Today's a good sports night. The Monday Nighter and then this Rockets-Warriors game to kind of cap it all off. And a bunch of college basketball.
As much as I thought last night's game was going to be a stinker, it actually turned out to be competitive down to the end so that it was at least something you could watch. But Joe and I were talking about it late in the week. The Thursday night game was really good. The Monday night game, really good. The NFL has to do that more often.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about human resources and payroll. I love HRMP, and not only because they're the ones that are responsible for paying me twice a month. I love them for a lot of reasons, especially that, though. It's Cougar owned by my colleague, O'Cougs. Members of the Cougar 100 for the 8th year in a row. You've seen the HRMP signage at U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway. But business owners, let HRMP help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRMP can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRMP. You aren't reading off a menu. It doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HRMP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem. You have an issue. You want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate. HRMP will find a way to help you. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets their excellent service. They have the best technology. You'll trust that. You'll love that. You'll count on that. But you will fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. Give them a call right now. 281-880-6525. 281-880-6525. And let HRMP customize a plan for you. Or just visit them online, hrp.net. That's hrp.net. He's Blank on Branham, Car Wreck of the Day, presented by carwreck.com. The poll is complete, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The new Tank Dell jump into the stands TD celebration. H-Town Hop got 50% of the vote. The Bayou Bounce got 33% of the vote. And the Lunar Landing got 17% of the vote. So there it is. Maybe the nomination for Car Wreck of the Day should be the Lunar Landing for getting 17% of the vote, whoever nominated that. I think it was Joe that put it on the poll.
Well, Joe gets the blame for most, and he had a triple play on Friday, so.
He did?
Yeah.
I have a lot of nominations here for Car Wreck of the Day. Yeah, what do you have?
I got the Los Angeles Football Chargers. They are an unadulterated mess. And Keith from Kirby, or Key from L.A., should be embarrassed to even think about claiming that football team. Their head coach is a complete just weenie. I mean, in every step of the way, and then he goes out and starts talking about, you know, how everything's under control and he's got this and don't ask me these questions and do that. And then in your locker room, coach, the players are saying the exact opposite and they're confused. They don't know what's going on. And a team that's got too much talent to suck as bad as they did just went into Lambeau Field with a bad football team of the Green Bay Packers and let the Packers beat you when you're trying to fight for your playoff lives. You suck, bro.
You're bitter. You're bitter that the Packers won that game.
There may be a little bit more to this, but the Chargers are an embarrassment.
I can hear it in your voice. You are upset the Packers won that game because you want Caleb Williams.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd be lying if I told you that I wasn't.
Yeah.
That's part of it, but I also think that that's a complete embarrassment for 2 years now, the way the Chargers are coached.
I hear you.
You got a better offensive coordinator, and you were supposed to be able to do better offensive things. Nothing's working out.
They should have fired Staley last year for
no
Sean
question.
Payton. That's who they should have hired, but they're too cheap.
The only salvation is if they get Belichick.
Is that it'd be entertaining, but is it
it's
plus
a big
expected
step up
value?
Coaching wise.
Is it?
And with the defensive guys he has, now Bosa's heading for the IL, but with Bosa and Mack and those guys, you don't think that and James,
Mack's
you don't
like
think
50.
That he's still been effective. I mean, you don't think that with Belichick running that defense that they'd be better, and he's a defensive head coach
he's
right now.
He's probably a free agent too, right?
I don't know. But it doesn't matter. You still got Bosa and James. You got a guy in the front seven and you got a guy on the back.
That'd be kind of. I mean, it would be fun. I do think it's an upgrade, but I don't think Belichick's like an elite head coach. Yeah, Mac has one more year in his deal. I didn't realize that. I'm nominating the Michigan players for wearing these free Harbaugh shirts. Like he was a wrongly convicted murderer. It was unbelievable. Like you would think they were the dude for making a murderer. Like wearing these T-shirts, free Harbaugh, dude. He's not in jail. He's just not at the football game, and he accepted his sentence. He accepted his sentence. They fired another head coach because he was in cahoots with a booster that was funding this whole thing. Was Harbaugh innocent? I don't know. Has Harbaugh been the model of innocence in his entire college coaching career? No, he hasn't. I'm nominating these silly Michigan players for free Harbaugh shirts. Go stand up for an injustice that they deserve to be stood up for.
I'm going to nominate Kenny Pickett. He sucks.
He's got tiny hands.
He's terrible.
He's really bad.
I mean, the one play towards the end of the game where he's like, Kenny Pickett throws it deep down the field to nobody. There was no one there. He's got nobody. He's really terrible.
Like, parallel fan bases every time their quarterback threw a football this weekend. Zach Wilson's with the Jets fans and Kenny Pickett with the Steeler fans. Both of them just shaking their head going, what was that?
I think those are the two worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, well, now Zach Wilson's the third-string quarterback. His coach freaking sacked him on the sideline. That was fantastic.
Boyle, he's getting the start. Key from Kirby says, not a Chargers fan, Blinkers. They pay rent at SoFi. It's a good point. You got some other nominations? I have three more here.
Well, keep going.
Ketchup on dirty rice. Sorry.
Agreed.
I'm sorry. I just have to. I can't hear that and not nominate it. Ketchup on dirty rice. No, put some like Louisiana hot sauce on it. Then we can talk. Louisiana hot sauce on dirty rice.
It's my choice, not y'all's. I can choose to eat my dirty rice, especially if it doesn't have a lot of flavor to it, my way.
You're right.
By the way, our intern nominated me for the exact same thing.
Salt and pepper.
That's awesome. You do have the freedom to eat that. You're right. You can. And I'm not taking away that freedom. I'm not trying to shame you into not doing this. But every action requires an equal and opposite reaction. And whenever you have ketchup on dirty rice, you get nominated for the car wreck of the day. You got another one, Joe?
No, I'm good.
The drain hole on the track at the Las Vegas F1 race. Carlo, it cost $2 million of damage, and Carlos Sainz is it ruined his what do they call it? It's like the bottom. It's like the chassis or something like that.
Oh, the chassis or the frame?
The chassis. That's it. Yeah. It cost $2 million of his chassis. And he got he lost like 10 spots on pole positioning on the grid.
They put a camera in the drain hole?
What?
What caused the drain hole to be so...
It got like sucked up because of like the speed of the car. Oh. I don't know the science behind it.
I thought there was some like Fox creation they were going to make this great camera angle where the drain hole was.
No. It was like a legit drain hole on the strip. Because they raced over the strip, and it sucked out the drain hole, and it caused $2 million damage on his chassis, and he got docked like 10 spots on the grid, and on top of this, it was an hour practice session that went 8 minutes. 8 minutes.
Damn, the drain hole.
The fans of Vegas got cheated. The F1 fans of Vegas got cheated. And then
something tells me they had a good time anyway.
They weren't watching the race.
But the fans in Vegas, there's plenty of other things to have fun with.
Some people were throwing out the conspiracy that this, like, took out tourism and stuff like that. Apparently, that's all a myth because there were still tons of money being gambled.
Apparently, it took out, like, low-level tourism.
Yeah, it did. But, like, the high-dollar people still played a lot. Mm. And, like, the dealers were getting tipped, like, more than they normally do. So, that's cool.
Other one I actually had, I was trying to remember this guy's name. Johnny Venerable. He covers Arizona, the Cardinals, for this Phoenix website or whatever.
That's not our. We used to talk to what's-his-name from Arizona all the time.
The Houston Texans are the darlings of the NFL, and the officials made sure it stayed that way today.
I saw that.
The Texans are on the right side of cheating.
They had a favorable whistle, I thought.
I agree.
They had a favorable whistle. I don't think that's an outrageous take. Also, Kareem Jackson for another 4-game suspension. All right, who wins?
Well, we have multiple Chargers, either players or the team or the coach or everything.
I'm going ketchup on dirty rice.
Seconded.
And the intern also said that.
Taylor said it. At least I know her name.
Taylor. Yeah, that's a good touche.
Okay.
There you go. Taylor said it as well. All right, ketchup on dirty rice, our car wreck of the day. You get into a car wreck? Well, call 713-999-8773, Hollingsworth Law Firm, carwreck.texas.com. Joe, are you next?
I am next.
Are you doing a show? Okay, good, because sometimes you're held in.
An hour.
Oh,
all right, that does it for us. Thanks to Joe for doing all the hard work. Taylor, too, for doing all her hard work. I'm kissing up now. He's Blank, I'm Brad, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Joe George in the bullpen up next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.